You feeling good?
Yeah.
Just really quickly, who here is married?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Who here is dating? Praise the Lord. Who here is single? Can I have a look around? Check it out. See what's going on. Praise the Lord. I see that hand, brother. Hey, it's a real privilege to be with you guys tonight. I run the Youth and Adults New Culture Church, and I believe we're experiencing a move of God, and it's just amazing. And my dad is my lead pastor, so that's interesting. It's good. I have to remember my place, but it really is amazing what God can do for ordinary people.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think is really on my heart tonight, is just that the Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us, and He wants to do something special. You don't need a title, you don't need to be a pastor or a priest or a worship leader for God to move in you in power. And I'm just going to pray real quick. Father, we thank you tonight that it says in Galatians 2:20 that no longer we that live, but you that live in us. And Holy Spirit, you came and you poured your Spirit out on everyone. And like Ben was saying, we just look to the person of Jesus. It's all about the person of Jesus. Tonight we lean on your word and we know that as we engage with you, as we let down the walls in our hearts, we let your Holy Spirit fill us, we will see a revival of the Holy Spirit in this region, in culture, in Brisbane, from coast to coast. As we let you in, as we make your name great, we will see people come and know the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone that believes and full of faith said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, come on. I'm expecting tonight. Feel it, that is with right. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do. I love the Holy Spirit. You know, some people don't. I feel sorry, Dave Hall, okay? I feel some people, you know, Holy Spirit, every church is different. I understand that. Every church has different beliefs. So we believe in calling over water, what's to go with tongues. But I don't want to touch on that. I just believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is real. You know, we read the Synoptic Gospels and we see Jesus did some odd things. He started people's eyes and they could see again. He walked on water. This is my coolest miracle. I know we raised dead people, but he fed 5,000 people from a lunchbox. Like, who wants that annoying? All the people, parents, and kids are like, yeah. But I'm telling you, I just believe the Holy Ghost is here now, and just for this reason, we were driving up here. I used to come here way back when I was so little. I love the guts and everyone here. But I'm telling you, as I was driving through the beautiful pine forest, all the roads have changed, almost got lost. But I believe that there is an awakening that is just waiting to happen on this region. Sometimes, you know, younger people are like, yeah, the young people, no, all people.
Yep.
Generation now, 1 to 100. God wants to see his sons and daughters come back. And I believe that it's us. The key to it is us. Not the preacher, not the pastor, not the worship team. As much as you love those people and you love your pastors and you honor them, it's on us. As the people of God, as believers, it's on us to step out and do something. Amen. Without faith. He believes it. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's ready. He's an evangelist. So that microphone is like, let's go. I want to tell you, my message this morning, I'm just going to event over here tonight. You should just preach around about like 2.5 hours. That's usually the message time. So keep it 20 minutes. But my message to tonight is the result of revival. And I think revival has been made into a bit of a weird Pentecostal word. And sometimes when we think of revival, we think of like tents full of millions of people and everyone falling over and people levitating. And that's maybe what it looks like. But I really believe that a revival is when we let Jesus do everything he wants to do in our hearts and lives. When we get revived to the state the cross brought us into. The cross brought us into freedom. The cross brought us into an ability to carry his Holy Spirit wherever we go. And I really believe that's for us tonight. I wonder if you've got your Bibles written from the message. I hope it's okay. I'm reading the message tonight. And it's Jesus talking to his crew, his disciples. And this passage is awesome. There is an urgency going on. So let's read it together. So it says, Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by shouting to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try and be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring help to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Keep that theme. And you have been treated generously, so live generously. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. Here it is. You are the equipment. And all you need to keep going is 3 meals a day to travel lightly. Now, I love this passage. Because Jesus, there's like an urgency behind Jesus here. He's going, hey guys, talking to his disciples, but we're his disciples. So he's saying, hey church, Western church, local church, local church, don't feel, of course, we love missions, my life goes on mission trips, we love government missions, but he's saying, don't feel that the grandiose thing is to travel overseas and go and get people, start on your street. He's challenging them, he's saying, and he doesn't, I love that he doesn't start by saying, you know, he doesn't start by saying, raise the dead, kick it. He starts by saying, go to the lost ones with people. And I think that's beautiful because I know as a young, sanguine, extroverted male, I get very excited by the idea of seeing the power of God move and preaching the nations. But then when the Holy Spirit or my mum tells me, hey, go and sit with that London person at the back of church, it doesn't come as naturally. But that's a problem because Jesus told me to go to those people first. And minister in that capacity first, because I believe that being able to minister to all people, the people on your street, the people that know you, they're the trickiest. The people that know you sets you up to be able to do the stuff that follows, the kicking out of demons, the raising the dead. I've never seen a dead person raised. That would just look at me, nothing to do with a message. Wouldn't that just be the scariest thing ever? Like you go in, call it my friend Mitch Ramsey, he just, he's a family friend, their daughter was in a car accident and she passed away, and they said to him, hey, we want you to come down and we want you to pray for her. And he went down and he was praying and prayed for 2 days and nothing happened. And this is a while back, I said, wow, man, just good on you for that faith. Like, you know, I didn't see it. And Mitch was like, yeah. But I couldn't help but thinking while I was praying, what would happen if she came back? Like, what would I do? Like, what would you say to them? Hey, there was an accident, I don't know. I don't even know my tech now, but it's just interesting. Jesus calls us to these crazy things, and then I'm like, what does that look like? Revival. So revival, I believe, sometimes, and maybe I'm talking to young people, you know, there's a lot of wise people in this room and preaching the gospel longer than I've been alive. But I know, you know, I've worked with, you know, hundreds of youth young adults. Revival. Hillsong Conference.
Welcome. The Hillsong Conference.
You know, like, everyone gets very, wow, Hillsong, or, you know, Todd White, or we see missionaries, and or there's a big event, you know, like a big, you know, event. And I don't know, for me, I see young people, they're so excited, and it's good, we love that. But that is not revival. Hillsong Conference isn't revival, it's amazing. But I believe, and I know some of the staff at Hillsong, it's designed to show up revival in you. It's not, an event isn't revival. I always tell my youth group that you in your bedroom on your knees just talking to God, that's revival. And no one can see it. There's no big lights, no cameras, no big stage. That's revival. That's what we need, church. That's what we need. We need to, you know, just old school. There's an elders in our church, you know, praying over the other day. And they were saying words I didn't get. They were saying, like, Lord, give them the unction. Like, what's an unction? Like, you look at people that are no one's told. There's just those that are young and those that are wise. And you look at wise people in the faith, and they just know the power of doing stuff behind closed doors. They just know the power of being in His Word. They know the power of praying when no one's around. They know the power of committing to marriage. They know the power of raising kids, even when I'm sure it's full. I don't have any kids yet. I've got 100 youth kids that are my first kids, but no real kids. And but we'll sort that next year. Okay? Praise the Lord. Twins. But I'm telling you, like, revival is when we just become what Jesus wanted us to be. The devil doesn't come to church, man. The devil doesn't care to come to church. He doesn't want you. He's not super bothered. If you come and attend and you listen, and listen to amazing worship, and when Ben talks, Pastor Chad talks, whoever talks, you're like, yeah, cool. He's not worried if you report a message. He's worried if you start applying a message. Yeah. He's not super concerned if you attend church. He's worried if you start to take it on board and become who you're called to be. That's when he starts to get a bit worried. When you start laying down jobs because you're chasing after the call of God. When you start getting rid of addiction. When you start looking at those things online. That's when he starts going, oh, no, this isn't just about church. This is revival in their hearts and lives. And this is what we need. This is what this region is crying out for. I just want to, I know what it's like when you're in church for a long time. And you can, I want to tell you, you're under good leadership here. I said, just showing the renovation. This church is hopefully going somewhere. And it's exciting. You can amen that, man. Hopefully it's going somewhere. It's exciting. And to be a part of the journey. I planted the church 4 years ago with 5 people. We started in a lounge room. And it was not glamorous. The lounge room or the church. Like, it just wasn't a glamorous time. And you know, stuff's gone on. And 4 years later, I look at what God, not man, is promoting to come from the east and west, come from God. What God has done in 4 years through people like my dad and members of the staff, right in the church, man, I'm telling you, Hope Point is going somewhere. Yeah. Shut yourself in, give yourself to the vision, give yourself to the process. Yeah. We're going to see a revival.
Yeah.
We're going to see a revival in this place. You know, 1 Timothy 4:12, it says something really, really cool. I believe this applies to all ages. Stay at your post reading scripture, giving counsel, teaching, and the special gift of ministry you were given when the leaders of the church lay hands on you and pray, keep that dusted off and in use. NKJV says, do not neglect the gift that was given to you when the elders prophesied over you. I want to tell you, man, it is so not enough just to come to church and get prayer. I mean, it's good to do that. But we have to be changed from the inside. We have to start letting the gospel affect the way we live our lives. And it doesn't even become weird. You know, I've got young people and, you know, they just, something gets a bit odd, you know. I'm like, how's your week, bro? I'm like, I'm just meditating on the scriptures. And I'm like, cool, how was my equipment, John? Just to get the help of the Holy Ghost. I'm like, how are you paying your rent? How are you fighting? How are you, what hours? My faith, like, oh, you just be silly. Like, we want to be influential in society. If we all quit our jobs and go home, like, nothing will get done. But we want to let the Holy Ghost in us so that, oh man, I'm preaching myself here. That when we're out of calls and we see a person and we think, you know, you get yourself and you just go up to them and feel Jesus say something like, I'm saying my love and all. I'll see how the day is. And you're just like, I don't know them, and it would be really awkward. Like, we actually have to let the Holy Spirit change us so that on a Sunday, we're getting prepped for Monday. Because
yeah.
If it's just happening on a Sunday, then it's, you know, it's Christian club and it's great, but we want to go out and reach people.
Yeah.
And this is the revival that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I've got 3 points. I'm a points preacher. My dad has 3 points. He's better than me, but I have points. So I don't know if anyone takes notes in this day and age. I've been at other ACC conferences and can preach for 400 people, and I'm like, hey, you want to take notes of my points? Like, no one moves. I'm like, okay, you're all photographic families then. But the first one is we have to fight the urge to daydream about the remains, and we must take revival to the day to day. You know, I don't know, some of this might fly to you, but I just know so many people that have a great time on Sunday. They love it, and then they'll talk about it. I'm like, oh man, work was good. You know, the worship was good. I don't know why they're doing that, but they are. The worship was good. And we're getting renovation in our church. Awesome! Love it! But we can't just talk about what happened on Sunday. We have to take Sunday with us. We can't just talk about how good God is on Sunday. We have to take you at schools and our workplaces and our families. And I just want to be real with you, like, I'm a pastor, whatever. It's still tricky. Like, there's members of our family that aren't safe, and when we go there, and I'm feeling like an urge to share, it's like, and I was like sweating, I sweat a lot. And I was like sweating, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about Jesus, like you're drinking, and I just, but we got to.
Yeah.
Like, we can't be professional Christians, it's just, I'm not saying you, because I'm just getting angry at myself, that we're going to come to church, and then it's like, that's it, there's got to be more.
Yeah.
Imagine if this whole room just got one person next week.
Yeah.
Do that 3 times, you'd be one of the biggest churches in Brisbane. Do that 5 times, you'd be one of the biggest churches in Australia. It doesn't take much. 20 seconds of insane courage. We can see a revival in there. We tell our people every week, like, bring someone, you fight someone. At maximum, you can bring the Holy Ghost right there in the workplace. I'm like, I'm praying for you. Your husband's sick, let me pray that. At minimum, you can say, hey, I want to take you to this place where we talk about a person called Jesus. You saved my life, this is what he can do for you. We can't just be locked into Sunday and we've got to take it with us. We can't be daydreaming Christians. You know, my wife loves musicals. I hate musicals. Like, just talk. Don't sing at me. I can't understand what you're saying. Like, just talk. And so, like, we're going to this musical at UMAC, and we're going to put on a suit. And I was like, this is how much tickets are. I was like, what? We could buy a home. But we went. And did you know musicals have this thing called an intermission? Because even the performers get bored. It's like, they can't stand sitting through it. And so anyway, we were in a musical, and I was just getting real tired. It was like one of my favorite things ever. But I was still just a bit drowsy, just like, what's wrong with me? Like, it's more like it's Pumba. And she was a little bit hurt, because it really meant a lot to her, and I was daydreaming through it. And you know, it might be okay to daydream through a musical, it's not my right fault, but you know, we can't daydream through a Christian life. we can't daydream through like Monday to Friday. You know, we had an awesome youth, like, you know, like 100 young people, and they just love it. But I tell them every week, I'm like, it's not enough just to jump around here. It's not enough, you know, and it's amazing. But it's not enough just to enjoy Friday, but you've got to take it with you. Come on, we want to be wide awake. This region, there's marriages, families, young people, unborn kids that need hope points to fire up to another level and need them to go, hey, I'm gonna outreach. I'm actually going to take the gospel with me, even though it's scary, even though I sweat my armpits a lot when I do that. I'm going to take the gospel because it's, you know, come on. We don't talk about eternity a whole lot. It's not a good look when you're freaking get up and you're like, there is a hell. It's like, no one applauds that. Like, everyone's like, yeah, wow, whoa. I brought Annie Gertrude. She's not saying, stop talking about hell. You know, you bring that person and it's the one weird week at church. The one good, like there's that one lady. Praise you, Yeshua. I'm like, stop it, please. No. But I'm telling you, man, we need this area needs hope point to fire up to a new level and say, hey, we got the gospel, hey, we got Jesus Christ, and we want him in your life. We also know that I was listening to Hank worship, and what he was saying about Jesus is just stirring up in my heart. Sorry, as he got me on your hand, but he's just a man of God, and he was just saying, Jesus, rock of ages, cornerstone, like the first and last. I was going, what, once again, I was like, whoa, this is the God we serve. I need to tell someone about it. Yeah. Come on, church, we need to tell someone about it. I want to see through this life. Second point, Romans, I'm doing this. You know you're living in revival when you run toward things you used to run from, and you run from things you used to run to. Now I use myself as an example. So when I became a Christian, I was fully addicted to pornography. I didn't know who I was. And pornography can sound like a really bad one, and it is. But not knowing who you are and trying to act and fit into, that is tiring. That leads to like anxiety, depression. I'm talking like I would walk into a room and go, what does this room want me to be? And I'll try and fit into that. Telling you, man, it was horrible. But then as the gospel started to get a hold of me, as the Holy Spirit started to move in my life, I let him move in my life, I started going, I don't want to go on those websites. Actually, I don't need to pretend to be something I'm not. Actually, I'm equally wonderful in that. Watch it, you've got to get a bit of confidence in yourself. You've got to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and go, yeah. All the husbands are like, I'll do that every day. Every day. When you come single dudes that look in the mirror, they're like working out and stuff, all the marriage, I'm like, yeah, kill it. I did that anyway. But I'm telling you that, like, the Holy Spirit said to change me. And you see, you're not going to change anything trying to be like it. You're not called to be like the world, it's not trying to be. Like, it's fine to have lights and all the cool stuff. Now I'm wearing ripped jeans. Someone scribbled on me. It wasn't me. I was telling my mom, I don't know what happened. But what I'm saying is, come on, we've got to be different to the world. We don't look down on the world. We used to be that. We can relate. We used to be stuck in that stuff, and it's horrible. But what we are able to do is say, hey, come this way. There's a better way. Hey, come and check this out. There's this little boy, he's going crazy. Like, we were trying to pray, we were trying to do the thing. So I took him into the office, in the pastor's office, and said, Caleb, what's going on, bro? And he began to talk to me about how he doesn't have a dad, and about how he's been abused, and how he's been hurt. And I sat in the office for 45 minutes, my leadership team, like, where is my spread? I just sat in there with him. And I didn't even say, stop being naughty. I just said, hey, you know what, Caleb? There's a heavenly father. I know your father left you. There's a heavenly father that loves you so much, and in a better way. And he's like 14 years old, he just stopped playing with his fidget spinner. He looked at me and he just said, listen. I didn't do anything great out of it. I just reminded the little Caleb that there's actually a better way. Hopefully, you're called to just let this area know there's a better way. We're not better. We're people that were sinners, we're saved by grace, Jesus, the cross on Calvary. That place, that beautiful place to go down there, that opened up a way. Where marriages can work, where suicide isn't an option, where you don't need to live with addiction. Because even the sun sets free is free in there. And that's good news. The gospel literally means good news. That's what we're going to bring. Last point. Amazing pianist. If you would like to come and join us, that would be amazing. Probably just better to say the keys. Keys if you want to come and join me. Man, I'm telling you. We don't need another event. We don't need a massive church, even though that's amazing. We're going to move with the Holy Spirit. We really do. We really do. I don't like it sometimes. Can I be real with you, church? I get awkward. Like when I was preaching one time, And you know, it was a packed out service, in case you see, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, stop. There's a young girl here, and on Monday night she tried to commit suicide. And I was like, and I'm still preaching while she's going, okay. I'm like, Holy Spirit, what? No. He's like, I'm pointing, stop preaching. I'm in my flow. I'm like, I was standing, like, it's going well, the band is building, the drum is like, perfectly, the lighting team on point, it's amazing. But I just want the Holy Spirit to say, I need to stop. I need you to stop. And I just spoke to myself, I was like, far be it from Fred Porter to try and point to the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ wants to do. And so I was open, a sweaty thing happened again. I was like, sweaty. And I was like, I just feel someone here. On Monday night, I tried to get the attention. No one was wrong. I was like, I feel like it was a dream match. They're like, that's what. Monday night. And I thought the Holy Spirit told me that she was tucking her lips. I feel like, no, they won't happen. So I went back into a message after that, my ears. But after the service, the young girl came up to me, she came up to me. And this morning, I actually asked God to send me a sign that he has to go down. I want to tell you a hope point. Would you let the Holy Spirit lead you into your life? That you can tell the scenario about the gospel. I'm not saying that I'm doing anything. I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. Walk a lot more than me. I just want to encourage you tonight. I want to stay up. And the gospel works. Wherever you are, in the library, in college, in your meeting group, in your skateboard group, whatever you're doing, gaming, it works. Sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes it's inconvenient. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it works. I have a message for Pastor in America today. I said, bro, I heard what happened to the church and some stuff and changed religion. How have you grown to over 300 in that time? It was one of my like, three-step processes and plans. I'm still working it out. I'm still getting database and whatever. I just said, honestly, Pastor, it's just the Holy Spirit. I mean, God boy knows himself, but it's the Holy Spirit. It touches and changes your life. He's not far away. He's at every place to help us out. He's at comfort. Jesus said, I'll send you the comfort of it. He knows the comfort of his comfort. We don't have to be invincible. We don't have to be the man of God. We can just go to God and say, Lord, in my life, in my university, in my family, in my strength, in my source of God, I pray you give me an opportunity to make you famous. I pray you give me an opportunity to tell people about what you've done for me. That's how we're going to see revival. I think play is good, and that's good. The most powerful thing is something to do to God. So I can tell people about the good news of the gospel. And look at the flaws. Now we've got this one line I just Josh into how many times he is the same. He may not be fully there. He will literally lure a shop from time to go to gym shopping, and he goes to the shop, and he just goes up to school, and he just touches on us. Excuse me, I'm a Christian, and I just tell you about Jesus. I'm going to chill and just like warm up, like start with the question about it, and he's just like, God just told me that your child is really sick, and he just wants to tell me that he knows you, he knows my name, he knows what my name is, he says, walk my arm, he says, watch that, hey, and this woman just is like, just like the power of God, that's what's available, I'm not there. And then my go-to is like, hey, Jesus loves you, what, Jesus loves you, that's your God. That's my go-to. But this is what's available to us, this is what the world needs. Let's have amazing marriages. Let's be successful in business. Let's buy a good house. Let's get a nice car. Let's do all that stuff. But let's not forget the entire reason we're on this planet is to be in a relationship with Him. And the second reason we're here is the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion. It's to tell people about Jesus Christ, make disciples of all nations. It's the result of your Bible. The last point as we finish tonight is you are not the remains. Come on, this is after the Holy Ghost. This is, you are not the remains of your past. You are the result of the cross. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I live, but Christ that lives in me. You have been made a new creation. You said yes to Jesus Christ in this place. You have been made new. If you believe that you're not good enough, and that you're a sinner, you're never going to do anything special, you won't. It is not arrogance to say, I've been redeemed. by the Most High God. He's calling His Son, He's calling His daughter, and we're the chief of God. I'm telling you, church needs more praise to Christians. Can I say as well, passion is about the world. Passion is pure extrovert. Passion is about knowing where I'm at. Passion is about knowing no matter what happens, I'm chasing the call of God on my life. No matter where it takes me, where it leads me, no matter how much money I have to give up, how much money I get given, or whatever happens in this topsy-turvy life we have sometimes, I know that Jesus loves humanity. So I know it as well. I'm here to love humanity. I'm here to love the world. Tonight you have to know you're not what you did. You're not what happened to you. That thing in your past doesn't define you. Jesus defines you. And in this Bible, we see 637 descriptions of what God says about His being. That you are beloved. You're the apple of His eye. You're the lily of the valley. You're the fairest of the fair. You're above and not beneath. The head not the tail. You're more than conqueror. You're co-heirs of Christ. Hopefully, we can get our identity from this. Not from what our boss says or what our family says. I've been pastoring people long enough to know the words of a fifth grade teacher may still ring in your ears 50 years later. You're not going to amount to anything. Come on, we've got to rise up, church. We've got to believe that the cross was enough. The cross was one more story just to finish. We are our first building that we have as a church was way smaller than this. Your backup building is better than our first team. And it was really raw. You know, we had like a farm that was 3 years ago and like two worship members. And we did a prayer time. It's the next way everyone wants to pray also in the region and help us pray. And there was this young man, he walked through, and God said, close to God. And he walked through, and nothing really happened, you know, he was praying for him, God bless him, using him. He walked through, and he just went to that corner, and started crying, and went over to him, and said, God, it didn't look like anything happened, Jesus speak to him. And he had a little knife, he got the bag, and out of that duffel bag, he pulled a sailing arm, and I was like, oh no. And then he pulled out a little bottle of vodka. And I was like, this is so weird. And he said to me, I'm afraid, he said, you don't understand tonight. My brother walked in, like, first week tonight. But I was really thinking tonight, I was just going to drink this entire bottle of vodka, and I was going to hit it. What point did you know that per capita Australia has the highest suicide rate in the world? Yet we are voting for the best country to live in the world. What does that tell us? Self is enough. We need the Holy Spirit. And this young man, he still don't know what to say. But that just reminded me that it's not over. It's not over until Jesus says it's over. Come on, man. Like, why don't we stand tonight as a church? I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel passion rising. Maybe you come join me. But I'm telling you now, it's not over until Jesus says it's over. You know, the world decides it's over when you run out of money. It's over for you when you sin too much. It's over. But I want to take the cross of Jesus Christ and say it's not over. That maybe there's times, maybe even in this room, maybe in your marriage, or maybe this is it, maybe there's some things with your kids, so you're like, they're too far gone, they've walked too far away. I want to tell you it's not over. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is on this church. There is young and wise in this house, there is wise people in this place. There is youth in this place, there is worship, that you have all you need, you are the equipment to travel life. This region needs to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's chosen us to be his hands and his feet. Can a region be saved in 6 months? You bet. You bet. Can this church grow by hundreds? You bet. Not so that you would be famous or you would get lots of money. Not that my church would grow so I'd be famous and we know, no, no, but so that sons and daughters would come back to the Most High God. We used to pray over our area as my brother just leads us in a song. But I want to start with just as a prophetic symbol. I feel that many of you in the coming months, you are just going to feel such an ease when you speak it out of Jesus' people. I just feel that even next week there's going to be opportunities, and there's no celestial light, there's no angel that appears, you're just being called. But I think we're just going to have a boldness, church, to just say, hey, we're going to Sunday gathering. We come, you can't call it morning, you've got 9 service, 8 a.m. Watch, you're going to find people that are going to be like, oh, people want answer, people want truth, people want help. And so just as we do that, I would just like to, if you come forward, just got a space where you can just sit back in. Lift that hand to heaven, it's all about him, it's all about Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to pray, we're going to pray as a church over this week. We're going to believe for the gospel. I'm going to pray and I'm going to hand over to Ben. Let's just lift our voice. Don't need to wait for Ben or for you. Let's just start lifting our voice. You speak in heaven in time, feel free to do that. But let's just start declaring out of the scripture. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the scripture. Holy Spirit, we thank you that it's not over in marriages, Father God, and young people contemplating suicide, it's not over. That your cross, that your blood, it made a way for truth and life. And as a guest here at Hope Point Church, we declare as kingdom family that this region would know you. Father, give us boldness. Give us boldness to go and speak your word. Give us boldness to get into our word like never before, to pray like never before. Father God, let us have the results of revival first in our hearts and lives, and then that we would take them out to every single person that we meet. God, I thank you for the plans and purposes over Hope Point Church. I thank you, Lord, that there is a stirring beginning to happen. There is a movement beginning to happen. There is renovations in the physical, but I see renovations in the spiritual. That people are going to start coming. Hope Point, get ready for a car park that doesn't fit all of this. Get ready for maybe, you know, the castle to a growing church. It's convenience. Get ready for people to start pouring in. Get ready to have to start picking up your seats because the lost are coming in. Father, as a church tonight, as we come into this time of worship, just for 5 minutes, we align ourselves with your vision and with the great commission over this city, over this region, in Jesus' mighty name.